Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 5, The Bible as a Textbook. The child's first textbook. The Bible should be the child's first textbook. From this book, parents are to give wise instruction. The Word of God is to be made the rule of the life. From it, the children are to learn that God is their Father, and from the beautiful lessons of His Word, they are to gain a knowledge of His character. Through the inculcation of its principles, they are to learn to do justice and judgment. A book of promises, blessings, and reproofs. The mother must keep her mind refreshed and stored with the promises and blessings of God's Word, and also the forbidden things, that when her children do wrong, she may present as a reproof the words of God and show them how they are grieving the Spirit of God. Teach them that the approbation and smiles of Jesus are of greater value than the praise or flattery or approval of the most wealthy, the most exalted, the most learned of earth. Lead them to Jesus day by day, lovingly, tenderly, earnestly. You must not allow anything to come between you and this great work. Its study builds character. The lessons of the Bible have a moral and religious influence on the character as they are brought into the practical life. Timothy learned and practiced these lessons. The great apostle often drew him out and questioned him in regard to scripture history. He showed him the necessity of shunning every evil way and told him that blessing would surely attend all who are faithful and true, giving them a faithful, noble manhood. A noble all-around manhood does not come by chance. It is the result of the molding process of character, building in the early years of youth, and a practice of the law of God in the home. God will bless the faithful efforts of all who teach their children as He has directed. It presents God's love as a pleasant theme. The children in every family are to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Evil propensities are to be controlled, evil tempers subdued, and the children are to be instructed that they are the Lord's property, bought with His own precious blood, and they cannot live a life of pleasure and vanity, have their own will and carry out their own ideas, and yet be numbered among the children of God. The children are to be instructed with kindness and patience. Let the parents teach them of the love of God in such a way that it will be a pleasant theme in the family circle. And let the church take upon them the responsibility of feeding the lambs as well as the sheep of the flock. Its stories bring assurance to the timid child. Only the sense of God's presence can banish the fear that for the timid child would make life a burden. Let him fix in his memory the promise, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them," Psalm 34:7. Let him read that wonderful story of Elisha in the mountain city, and between him and the hosts of armed foemen, a mighty encircling band of heavenly angels. Let him read how Peter, in prison and condemned to death, God's angel appeared. How past the armed guards, the massive doors, and great iron gateway with their bolts and bars, the angel led God's servant forth in safety. Let him read of that scene on the sea when to the tempest-tossed soldiers and sailors worn with labor and watching and long fasting, Paul the prisoner, on his way to trial and execution, spoke those grand words of comfort and hope, of courage and hope, "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." In the faith of this promise, Paul assured his companions, "There shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." So it came to pass, because there was in that ship one man through whom God could work, the whole shipload of heathen soldiers and sailors was preserved. They escaped all safe to land, Acts 27:22-24 and 34 and 44. These things were not written merely that we might read and wonder, but that the same faith which wrought in God's servants of old might work in us in no less marked a manner than he wrought then will he work now wherever there are hearts of faith to be channels of his power. Be strong in faith and teach your children that we are all dependent upon God. Read to them the story of the four Hebrew children and impress their minds with a realization of the influence for good that was exerted in Daniel's time because of strict adherence to principle. Make the Bible lessons simple. The parents are to teach their children lessons from the Bible, making them so simple that they can be readily understood. Teach your children that the commandments of God must become the rule of their life. Circumstances may occur to separate them from the parents and from their homes, but the lessons of instruction given in childhood and youth will be a blessing to them throughout their lifetime.
Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak
creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But those who wait on the Lord,
those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
Alright. Anybody?
the time of Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that day is great.
That you bless each and every heart that will come in and listen. And Father, we ask in the blessing to the minister that will preach your gospel. Father, give him wisdom, give him the right message for this time we're living in. Lord, that we might hear or not getting it. So, Lord, we need the power of God on this prayer line. So we ask that the Holy Spirit will please put out and give your word according to your will. And, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this prayer line. For many years, you have blessed us, and you are continuing to bless. Lord, if by your will, there's someone that needs to hear this word or what will be preached tonight, Lord, you lead them and guide them to the prayer line. And may we give respect unto the Lord, to his holy name, and that we show the brothers and sisters on here love and kindness, which you have showed to us. And we thank you so much for what you have done and continue to do for us. Now bless us, each and every one that will come. Help them, Lord. And Lord, help them to give you praise. Help them to show that you have given them a mouth and they can praise you with their mouth. We don't have to ask. May you touch their heart and work and help them. So we thank you for all these blessings that you've given to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And welcome, brothers and sisters, to Advent Light Ministry. May God be with each and every one of us evening, and may we give God the glory because all is due to him. And I'm asking you to press 1 and that you can share your testimony or your word. But I would like to just read a short from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 through 21. I'm reading this because we are coming so close as we out in the world just sharing the message with God people. And I'm reading from Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. He said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment." Amen. And thank you, brothers and sisters, as I read that. And we know God is talking about his commandments. And then we will open the first line and we will allow our sister to share. Amen. Evening.
Amen.
And 423, your line is open.
Yes. Hi. Good evening. Thank you for opening up my line, Sister Leola. Sorry, I'm having a feedback. I'm just thanking the Lord. This is Sister Carla. I'm here in Waynesboro, Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for his goodness, his righteousness, his faithfulness to me and what he is doing in my life. So just want to encourage each and every one of you, brothers and sisters, stay faithful and Jesus will bless you. And I'm sharing something from Manuscript Release, chapter 25, book 6. It said, Then I saw that we must work fast while the day has begun. God to help his messenger go and work fast for the salvation of soul. I saw that God was willing to give us great blessings if we would only have faith And when we went out amongst the people, we must go in the name of the Lord. For without him, we can do nothing. Then again, I saw the goodness of God in giving us a baptism of his Holy Spirit before we had wandered through the deep water. So I'm just thanking the Lord for the pen of inspiration and the command that he has given us in Matthew to go ye into all the world to baptize, and you know, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is still the same commission that he has given us to go and save the lost and to seek those that are in this world, those that are sick, those that are dying. And the greatest commission we have is to save soul, not to gain riches or land or possession, but to win soul. And that is the richest blessing that we can ever have or that we can ever do for others. So I just want to encourage each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Thank you for opening up my line, Sister Leola.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for coming on and sharing with us on the prayer line. And we thank God that you are there in Tennessee. Hopefully, I don't know if you have the Richardson, and may Brother Richardson, if they're there, they can come on and just share something with us on the prayer line and give God the glory if they don't mind. Go ahead, Sister Carla.
Here at the Richardson, no, they're not here with me.
Oh, okay. Well, praise God.
Uh-huh.
Well, I just wanna thank you, Sister Carla, for coming on and sharing. And you know, when you said go preach the gospel, I just wanna share this. My friend, it's just a testimony, I would say. My friend and I, well, it's not a testimony because a testimony is not what I've done. Not what I went out to do, but someone else gives the testimony. I believe that's how it works. But I wanted to share this. My friend and I had to go to the doctor, and I was in the doctor's office, and my friend, she leaves, she read her, while she's reading her son-in-law book. Now, she would leave one book or two books in the chair or on the table for someone else to come and pick it up and read. And I was at this other doctor's office, and I had some literature, some trifolds. Why not ask God about a Sabbath? And I shared that with some people in the doctor's office. And this one lady brought it back to me. She said, "No, thank you, ma'am. We worship on Sunday. We're gonna keep our Sunday." And I say, "Thank you." I say, "Thank you." You know, I appreciate them giving it back to me rather than throwing it away. Because if I see someone that left it or throw it away, I pick it up. I go get it. And I put it back in my little books or whatever. So I said, "Lord, I just said a few words. Father, help her to see. At least she did read some." And you see, a lot of people think that just because people give it back to them, she did read some of it. And God is going to work with that little bit she read. All we got to do is pray for her, because the Lord will purpose her heart and remind her what was given to her, my word. It was the Bible. That's biblical. So I just praise God she read it and she gave it back. So I just say, "Thank you, Lord." I say, "She, long as she read it, I'm satisfied." So I'm just giving God thanks for her. And I just ask you to keep the lady, keep those in prayer, that when we share the gospel, they read it and then they put it down. As long as they pick it up and read some of it, it's going to come a day. You know what? What they have read, the Lord's going to show it to them. And then they're going to be more eager to get that information. But God knows it. Help them to be able to get it. Amen. So I just want to thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that spreading the gospel. And I'm going to read that chapter. I'm going to read Matthew's, I think it's Matthew's chapter 28. And then I'm going to open the line, my brothers and sisters, and I'm asking you to press one so you can share your testimony and your reading or prayer. I want to read that what Sister Carla was saying. And it's I'm reading in Matthew's. I don't know what verse you read, Sister Carla, but I'm reading Matthew's 28. Is that the verse you read? Okay, well, I will read it.
Yes.
I will read it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Amen.
What verse you read, Sister Carla?
I am not, I know it's Matthew, the end part is, yes, 28, 27, 28, I have to.
Okay, this is then, Matthew 28, mm-hmm. as Sister Carla has read, and I'm going to just say it, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, he
Amen.
Says,
Amen.
Well, I'm going to read 8, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end. So, sisters and brothers, it is command of us to go and share God's gospel. So I am grateful, and I let no The Bible said, "Don't let no frown or no face the ugly faces scare us that we shouldn't go and share this gospel because people have faces, frowns, and telling you I don't want this or whatever. But we can't let that stop us. We got to go forth and you know what I was reading? I was reading in Jeremiah in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah spoke to Zedekiah told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, tell me what I'm supposed to do. And Jeremiah told him, he said, if I tell you if I give you counsel, will you listen? And he told, Zedekiah told him, he said, yeah, I'll listen. But when Jeremiah told, Zedekiah told Jeremiah, he said, well, I was afraid of the Jews because what they was going to do, they were going to give him over to the Chaldeans. So that was the problem right there. He was afraid of man rather than God, and God allowed him to go into captivity anyway, be taken. So we can't be afraid of the disfigured face. We got to go for it, sisters and brothers. So thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing and giving us that text. Amen. So we're going to open the next line for our brothers and sisters. Amen. Okay, we're going to open the line for 857-505. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, Sister Carla, Sister Amico, everyone on the prayer line. I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because God is good. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I've been in the second floor since 2021, Sister Mule, and I'm praying that the Lord will change me and move me to the third floor at the program. I'm praying that God will put me in the third floor because Sister Mule in the second floor, you know what? Police there, Sister Mule, she was yelling at me, screaming at me at work, and she was with me. I say God, please, Lord, give me the strength, Lord. I say God, do not let my temper, you know, do not let my temper come against me. I say God, help me to be a strong man. I say Lord, help me, God. I say God, help me because God, you're able. You are able to do all things, God. I say, God, help me to be move in the third floor. And Sister Miola, I don't know, can you tell brothers and sisters on the prayer line to please encourage me at the moment, because I'm feeling a little,
right.
Sometimes Sister Miola, I'm feeling a little stressed, but Sister Miola, I am hanging in there, Sister Miola. I'm hanging in there. I'm praying on the Lord. I'm praying to God and tell everyone to lift me up, Sister Miola. Tell everyone to lift my spirit up, because I'm feeling depressed, like stressed. I say, God, please help me to be strong. Help me to move to the third floor, God. Thank you, Sister Miola, for opening my line. Tell everyone to lift me up, Sister Miola, and tell everyone to encourage me with their words, too. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we hear Brother Eli. We know that Brother Eli have a loving heart, and sometimes he don't like people yelling at him and saying mean things to him like that. But we're going to encourage Brother Eli, brothers and sisters. Don't worry, Brother Eli. Everyone on here will encourage you. And we love you. And we know that God heard your prayer, and he will work it out. You know what God said? He will fight for you. He will take care of your enemies. So you don't worry. You did the right thing, asking God to strengthen you, help you to be a man and not worry about, because you talk to God when you talk to Jehovah, when you are going through, you talk to your Father and he hear you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Eli. And we're going to open the next line so we can let everybody share. Okay. 985-232. Your line is open. You can tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's just a friend of calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank the Lord for being so good and merciful. Thank him for watching over us and waking us up. Brother Eli, I have something for you to go to sleep on tonight. It's a prayer. Dear God, help us to be more focused on you than on ourselves. Do not let us fall into the trap of believing we can do all things on our own and that we do not need you. You are all we need, O Lord. Your words tell us more that you are near, and that if we seek you, we'll find you. Thank you for loving us enough to stay near. May we always place our faith in you, rather than in our own ability. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Brother Eli, this is all you need. God, focusing on God, doing all things in God, believing in him, trusting in him, loving him because he's loving us. And guess what? Your friends going to come to you because they know you are seeking God. Don't worry about going to get their relationship. They're going to come to yours because you know what? God going to make them your footstool. And just like I was studying the Bible with my sister-in-law today, we was reading in the Bible, and I had another phone, and we was reading in King James. So I was reading, they was reading something, and I was reading something. I said, wait, these Bibles is not adding up. So I said, wait, let me get my first Bible, my Bible I've been having. So my Bible, the real Bible, Bible Sister Leola gave me. I said, nope, I got the wrong Bible. So I said, let's read it again. He was reading in Deuteronomy 10th chapter 5th. So I said, I saw that first verse. I said, well, let's read again. I said, okay, they're adding up right now. So we read in that. So, okay, I said, well, Lord, I thank you. You're giving me what I asked for, some knowledge and wisdom. I'm recognizing the Bible's not adding up. That's a good sign. So I thank the Lord. And I thank the Lord for this prayer here, because it's just in time for Brother Eli and all of us that we can focus. We focus on God and don't let nobody else make us fall into their trap to send us to hell while they continue to act like they don't understand. Okay? So this is what I've been through and lost and bust also. And a spleen, and the doctor couldn't understand why I'm still living. But see why God got me living? He want me to testify. And I'm testifying right now, Brother Eli. Don't let nobody take your eyes off of God. This is what they're doing. Focus, my brother. And God bless you. And God bless everyone on the line. I'm asking for prayer for my brother and sisters on that Ben Light. All around the world, pray for our sister Powell, that she continue her mission and come back safe, and she stay strong, and all the other brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name, amen. That'll be all, Sister Lil.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Well, good counsel, good encouragement. And we're going to bring Brother Eli back and let him know, and let him say the last word after everybody talks. It is such a blessing that the brothers and sisters have scriptures and have words to encourage and to give him light. And, you know, it's just such a blessing. So thank you so much, Sister Brenda, for reading that, because truly it even enlightened me, and to thank God for what was read. Amen. So now we're going to, I want to thank you. Sister Brenda, Brother John coming on.
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to lift up families and friends in prayers. And, but after we finish, open the line for everybody. So we thank Sister Brenda and Brother John. Because most of the time, sometimes the wife can speak for the husband and the husband speak to the wife sometimes. It just depends how you all want to share it. So now we're going to open the line for the next caller, which is 27277. We open in your line, and you can share and your scripture, Amen. Your song, or whatever God put on your heart. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful to be on this prayer line. And I just want to give the Lord all praise and all honor and glory, because he is so worthy to be praised. I bless his great and holy name. What an awesome God we serve. He takes care of us each and every day. So I'm grateful for his faithfulness and his grace and mercy upon each and every one of us on the prayer line tonight. My dear sister, and I do have a song to sing, and it is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. So I will definitely sing this song, which is from the Bible verse. Thank you.
Today men heap reproach and shame upon Jehovah's holy name. Some show God weak, some paint him cruel. There is no God, so shouts the fool, who go Jehovah's name to clear, who sing for God's grace to hear. Lord, here I am, send me, I'll sing your praises faithfully. No greater honor could there be, Lord, here I am, send me. than me. Some may proclaim that God is slow, but fear of God they do not know. Some worship idols made of stone, some would put Caesar on God's throne. Who tell the wicked what's in store? Who warn of God's great final war? Lord, here I am, send me, I'll sound the warning fearlessly. No greater honor could there be, Lord, here I am, send me. Today the meek ones mourn and sigh, because the evils multiply. With honest hearts they seek to find the truth that gives real peace of mind. Who go with comfort to the meek, who help them righteousness to seek. Lord, here I am, send me, I'll teach the meek ones patiently. No greater honor could there be, Lord, here I am, send me, send me.
Amen. Praise the Lord, my sister. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters on the line, and Brother Eli, I do have some Bible scriptures for you, because I know what you're going through is not easy. But when we're in difficult times and difficult seasons, Jesus never promised us adversity, free life. But he has assured us that no matter what we face, he will never leave us nor forsake us. So if you're dealing with challenges and circumstances, allow these verses to remind you of God's will for you to come out of every difficult season victorious. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and be of good courage and take heart and wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14. Be steadfast with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. And I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor let you down. So relax and hold on. I will surely be there for you. And Hebrews 13, verse 5. And the last one is Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or nor prevail or sword? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Amen. So these are just some scriptures that you can look up, my dear brother. Psalms 27, 13, 14, and Hebrews 13, 5, and Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 37. So God bless you, Brother Eli. We're all praying for you. We all love you very much. We know that you're a deacon now in the church, and we know that you're a loving, kind brother, and that you're praying for each and every one of us on this prayer line. So we're so grateful for your loyalty to the Lord and that you continue to pray for each and every one of us and our family members, no matter what. You're always praying for us. I'm so grateful. God bless you. I love you all, always and forever and more. God bless you all, and I want to lift up in prayer all my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. That's my prayer request, to lift up each and every one of us tonight, that the Lord will continue to cover us under the blood of Jesus and keep us all safe and protected from the enemy, because we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. So thank you for opening my line. This is Celiola. God bless you. Love you always. Amen. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for coming to share.
and especially sharing that scripture for Brother Eli to really give him the hope that he needs, knowing that the Lord loves him. Amen. So I want to open Brother Eli line again and let Brother Eli say a few things. Amen. And Sister Tamika, we will lift you and your family up, and I will come back. We're going to offer some prayers by God's grace. So let me go back and open Brother Eli line up so he can say a few words and how the Lord blessed him tonight. Brother Eli, your line is open.
Amen. Amen.
Open your line to let you know the Lord bless you with such encouraging words. So I just want you to share how you feel, if you feel much better.
Sister Miola, I'm feeling better, Sister Miola, but I'm praying that the Lord will put me in the third floor. I'm praying for that, Sister Miola, and Sister Miola, we are praying hard, Sister Miola, because more prayer, more power, because Sister Miola, I would like to thank Sister Tamiko for encourage me, and I would like to thank Sister Brenda too for encourage me, because I need a lot of prayer, Sister Miola, that the Lord, that God will put me in the third floor. God will put me in the third floor, Sister Miola. I'm praying on that, Sister Miola. I don't know if Brother O'Neill is on the prayer line at the moment, and tell Brother O'Neill to lift me up in prayer, because, Sister Miola, I've been in the second floor since 2021, and I want to be in the third floor, really, and I want Brother O'Neill, if he's on the prayer line, tell him to lift me up in prayer, Sister Miola, or Sister Carla. If Sister Carla's on the prayer line, I don't know, can she lift me up in prayer too? Because I want to be in the third floor. Amen. Thank you. May God bless you.
Amen.
All on the prayer line.
Brother Eli, I'm gonna ask you to do the first prayer. We're going to pray. Offer prayer until Brother Akeem come on. You can pray. I'm going to ask Sister Tamika and Sister Brenda. It's a few of us on. We can pray. We can pray for the brothers and sisters that have not been on here lifting up Brother Udi. So you go ahead and offer a prayer. And
Amen.
Powerful. So let me just read a scripture.
Amen.
Father, let me just read a scripture, Brother Eli. I'm gonna read Ephesians. That's in Ephesians about prayer. Hold on, give me just a second. Let me read the prayer. Jesus prayed. And we just got to pray for one another. And I want to lift up. Hold on. Ephesians. About prayer. Hold on. I'm looking for my scripture about prayer in Ephesians. Brother Eli, you can go ahead and pray. You can go ahead and start praying. I'm looking for the scripture.
Amen, amen. Let us pray, Sister Miola. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Let's close our eyes. Yes, Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we magnify your name, God, this moment, Lord God, we praise your name, God, because God, you're wonderful, God. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. How excellent is your name, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for your word, Lord. We want to thank you, God, for you have done for us, Lord. Oh God, we come to you, Lord. We come in your presence, God. God, we ask the God to give us deliverance, Lord. God, we ask the God to come deliver us, Lord. We ask the God to come hide us, Lord, with your righteousness, Lord. We ask the God to cover us, God, with your blood, Lord. We ask the God to watch over us, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola, God, who is the host on the prayer line, Lord. We ask the God to come bless us, Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Miola the power, Lord. Give Sister Miola deliverance, God. God, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, bless Sister Miola, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for Sister Miola, Lord, and brother Jarvis, Lord. God, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, I love brother Jarvis, God, to testimony, God, the prayer line, Lord. Allow him to come in the prayer line, God, to praise you, Lord, to magnify your name, Lord. God, I want to lift up Sister Miola's husband to you, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, bless Sister Miola, Lord. Bless her family members, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Tamiko, God, in a special way, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. We ask God do not let her to be afraid, Lord, to come preach on the prayer line, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. Do not let her to be scared, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, You are with Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we ask you, Lord. We ask you, God. Allow Sister Tamiko, Lord, to read Psalms 27, Lord. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? Yes, Lord. We ask God to bring her under prayer line, God, to preach your word, Lord. To preach your word, God, under prayer line, Lord. We ask God to bring Sister Tamiko, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Bring her on the prayer line, God, to come preach your word, Lord. God, we ask God to break every chain, God, for Sister Tamiko, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask God to strengthen her, Lord. We ask God to give her the power, Lord. Give her deliverance, God. God, we ask God to give her the victory, Lord. We ask God to strengthen her, Lord. Bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. Allow her to come in the prayer line, God, to preach your word, Lord. Because, God, you're able, God. God, bless her, God, in a special way, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. God, I want to lift up her son to you, Lord. God, I want to lift up her daughter to you, Lord. Sister Keisha, Lord. We ask God to touch her, Sister Keisha, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask God to come touch her, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask God to come deliver her, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. Bless Sister Keisha, Lord. God, I want to lift up her beloved mother, Lord. Sister Dorothy, Lord. Sister Tamiko's mother, Lord. Sister Dorothy Senior, Lord. We ask God to come bless her, Lord, in a special way, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. God, we ask God, allow Sister Tamiko, Lord, to bring her mother, God, on the Avalai ministry, Lord. Allow her to be the part of the Avalai ministry, Lord. Come bless Sister Dorothy Senior, Lord. Allow her to be a part of that ministry, God, on the prayer line, Lord. We ask God to strengthen her, Lord. We ask God to watch over her, Lord. Bless Sister Brenda, Lord. Watch over Sister Brenda, God. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. Watch over Sister Brenda, God. Watch over Brother John, Lord. We ask God to come deliver them, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask God to strengthen them, Lord. We ask God to want to thank you, God, for you have done for them, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Carla to you, Lord. God, we ask God, Sister,
Jesus, Sister Carla, calling your name, Lord. God, we ask the God to come deliver Sister Carla, Lord. Deliver Sister Carla, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask the God to give her the strength, Lord. We ask the God to give Sister Carla deliverance, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask the God why your Sister Carla's driving, Lord. Allow her to drive safe, Lord. God, we ask the God to come deliver Sister Carla, Lord. Allow her to drive safe, Lord. We ask the God to come deliver Sister Carla, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask the God to strengthen her, Lord. We ask the God, allow her to bring a word, God, on the prayer line, Lord. Allow her to bring to come preach your word, God, on the prayer line, Lord. Allow her to come preach your word, God, the gospel, Lord. Allow her to come preach on the prayer line too, Lord. We ask the God to come bless Sister Carla, Lord. God, we ask the God to touch her heart, Lord. We ask the God to knock a door in her heart, Lord. We ask you, God. We ask the God to knock a door in her heart, Lord. Knock a door in Sister Carla's heart right now, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask the God. In the Holy Sabbath too, Lord. On the Friday, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, God, to come preach your word, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, Lord, to come preach your word, God. On the prayer line, Lord. We ask the God to come bless her, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. We ask you, God, to strengthen Sister Carla, Lord. Break every chain for Sister Carla, Lord. Strengthen her, Lord. God, allow Sister Carla, God, to sing a song of praise, God. Allow her sing unto you, Lord. Allow her to give you thanks, God. Allow Sister Carla, God, to give you thanks, God, to give you praise, Lord, because, God, you deserve the praise, Lord. God, you are worthy to be praised, Lord. Bless Sister Carla, Lord. Watch over Sister Carla, Lord. Allow her to be the come in the child and true line, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, Lord, to come in the child and true line, Lord. We ask the God to strengthen Sister Carla, Lord. God, we ask the God. We ask the God to give Sister Carla the number, Lord. 1-4-2-5-6-5-0, Lord. 1-3-9-9-28-28-67, pound. Yes, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, Lord, to know that number, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, too, Lord, to come in the chat and true line, Lord, on the Saturday, Lord, after your sanctuary, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, Lord, to come in the prayer line, Lord, with Sister Stephanie, Lord, with Brother Elroy, Lord, with every single one of us, Lord, with Sister Brenda, Lord, with everyone, Lord. Bless everyone, God. Watch over everyone, God. Watch over Brother Akeem James, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Watch over Brother Akeem James, Lord. Allow Brother Akeem James, God, to come preach your word, Lord. Bless him, God. Bless Brother O'Neill, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Break every chain, God, for Brother O'Neill, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Watch over Brother O'Neill, God. Watch over Sister Miola, Lord. Watch over Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. Bless Sister Tamiko, Jesus. You're able, God. Bless her, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. Watch over us, God. Strengthen us, Lord. God, bless Sister Eva. Bless every single one of us, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. We cry out to you, Lord. We cry out to you, Lord, today, Lord. Sister Tamiko, Sister Miola, Lord, cry out to you, Lord. Bless us, God. Watch over us, God. Strengthen us, Lord. God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless us, God. Bless every single one of us, Lord. Bless us, God. Watch over us, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for offering that prayer for us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the prayers that Brother Eli have given to you for us, Lord. Now we're going to open the line. We're going to open the line for Sister Tamiko. Sister Tamiko, I will see if Sister Brenda, sometimes she do give a prayer. Let me see if she's in position. Let's see if she's positioned. Sister Brenda, are you positioned to give an offer of prayer?
Yes.
Amen. Well,
yes,
you can offer prayer to my sister.
Okay. I linger a little longer, Lord. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for coming. Advent Light, we're coming on this line. We're thanking you for all we have done tonight. We thank you for a wonderful prayer line we had tonight. We thank you for everything been said and done up until now. Lord, we just ask you to strengthen each and every one on that Advent Light prayer line. We ask you to touch each and every one. Lord, please go down to Jamaica and touch us the power. Lord, strengthen her from my head to her toe. Give her the strength to carry on her mission, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to continue watching that Advent Light. We ask you to continue picking up all the leftovers that, all the ones that missing from the circle that we have with Brother Judy, Brother Bernard, and all the other brothers that and sisters that was joining us that we was having studied with, and you know who they are, God. God, we ask that you continue looking down on our members, strengthen them. Give Brother Eli a double portion, because, Lord, he's looking on his friends to come in and give their life to you before it's too late, Lord. But they act like they are in another world. But, Lord, we ask that you give them a double portion of knowledge and understanding so that they can come on in. But, Brother Eli, we ask that you just look to the Lord as you talk to your brothers and sisters and give it to them and let it go. And the Lord going to take it from there. So, Lord, we continue to ask you to go on to the hospitals, the nursing home, the jailhouse, outside, where all our brothers and sisters are sleeping, where all the people are sleeping and need to be getting a word. I see them, I give them a word. Well, they give me a word to know that you are the Lord and you are the only one can help them be removed. Can no man help them to be removed? They need a word from you. And Lord, we ask that you go into the nursing homes and go on the ones that are bereaving. Father, we ask that you give us all peace and compassion to all understanding, that we all can get some knowledge and wisdom from you and focus. That's the main thing we need, to focus. All I do now, after the Bible tells me to focus, that I've been studying lately on, I can't remember what chapter this was, and when the Lord says focus, I just look up and say, thank you, Lord. That's to keep from stressing, and it works out fine. So, Lord, we just want to thank you. We just ask you that you continue to bless our sisters and brothers. We continue to trust in the Lord. We continue to be faithful. We continue to hand out his handwork. We continue to just carry on out the privilege to God's word, and that we can meet our brothers and sisters that's looking for food, not just food to eat, but food to God's kingdom. We just want to carry it out and get them to understand, like it was carried out to Sister Brenda. And she didn't understand anything, but now she's getting a little knowledge, and she just loves to hear the word of God now, but still got some work, Lord. I just want you to continue praying for me and Brother John to continue working on the kids and getting them to believe and knowing about God, because I'm trying to get Sam out of your head, knowing that I tell them, Lord, it's no Santa, but I'm going to keep working on them and telling them, because right now they don't understand. But I thank you, Lord, for my grandkids, my two small ones and my two adults. They're doing fine. They're very quiet. They go to church. I don't even know they next door, but they sneak in and say, hey, Grandma. They pass by, say, Grandma, that's 21 and 19. And they're very quiet. So I thank God for them. And I just thank God for the whole prayer line we have because we all family. And I thank God we come together and we get on this line. This is what God wants us to do. And we just want to make sure, hope and pray. I've got, Brother Rick and Brother Richardson. We pray for them. And Brother Richardson, me and my husband love to hear him sing. And Sister Carla, she travels so much for things. I just pray God keep her going. She do so much. And Sister Leola, she just can't keep still either. But I thank God for all y'all, Sister Tamika, everybody. Just ask the Lord to keep y'all strong so y'all can continue this prayer line. And God bless each and every one. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Sister Tamika. I'm sorry, Brother Akeem is on and he got his hand up and he's ready to bring the message. So let us just offer a short prayer. Heavenly Father, as my brothers and sisters have lifted up everyone in prayer, Father, we want to lift up Brother Rick. Brother Rick has the flu, and we want to lift up all the other brothers and sisters. We lift up Brother Akeem as he's bringing the message, Father. We pray for your Holy Spirit to lead and guide him and just bless him, Father, with the word that you would have for him to preach tonight for the hearers. So, Father, we thank you for your blessing. Now, Lord, as we turn it over to Brother Akeem, Lord, we ask for your grace and your mercy to be upon us tonight, filling us with your Holy Spirit that we may accept and believe what God has for us. So thank you, Father, for this moment and that we are about to hear your word. Bless Brother Akeem, keep him, Lord, and even bless his family. And we thank you so much for his ministry, Lord, as he's continued on this prayer line for many years. And we ask that you bless his ministry, whatever it needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So we will open Brother Akeem line now. Amen. 301, your line is open.
Yeah. All right. Well, praise the Lord. To be glad to be back on once again this evening. And as we go into our study this evening, I pray that this will make sense. We'll be looking at these next probably few times that I speak, the subject of the deity of Christ, the deity of the Holy Spirit. It is very well known that regardless of what Christian denomination we look at, that the Father is indeed totally God and God in the highest sense of what it means to be God. It is understood by many that that is attributed to the Father. But what I am beginning to realize is that in Adventism, there is beginning to grow movement that is beginning to challenge that reality. And so as a result, I wanted to touch on these points so that we can get a better understanding of it, understanding our difference between us, whether it be the papacy or the other churches, to see what the difference is. And to receive these things, to realize that the understanding of Christ within Adventism is an understanding that has developed over time. Why? Because truth is progressive. Truth is progressive, and that's something that our pioneers understood. And that's why as time went forward, many of them were shocked even by some of the statements concerning Christ from the pen of Sister White. And it was because what God was trying to do is lead his people out of Babylon completely. And the more and more, what we find is the more and more out of Babylon the people of God came in terms of their doctrine, the higher and higher was the exaltation of Christ. That our movement may be known as one that exalts Christ to the place that Scripture truly places him in. So as we go into this topic, if we would have a word of prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds and our hearts. Draw us ever closer to you, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. Save us at last, Lord, as we see Christ in all of his glory, the glory that he had with the Father from eternal ages. I pray that our hearts and our minds may realize this is why the gospel, the good news of our Jesus, is so powerful, Lord. Help us to see the value and understanding, yes, the humanity, but also the divinity of the Son of God. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. So the first place that we'll go is it says in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, in reference to the Holy Spirit, moved. The Hebrew means to shake violently upon the waters, upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we understand that Genesis chapter 1 lays out the rest of the 6 days. Genesis 2 beginning or carrying us into the 7th day. But as we look at this, it's very interesting. Once you come down to the place where God is about to create man, we realize the very Hebrew comes into the English language. So the word God there that's mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 is the Hebrew word Elohim. And whenever you have Elohim, whenever you have I am at the end of a word, so for example, Elohim has that E-L-O-H-I-M, the I am represents that it is plural. That word is speaking of a plurality of figures. When we read in the New Testament, the term for the Gentiles, plural, is the word goyim, G-O-Y-I-M, meaning that we're not just talking about one person, but a group of people. And so when the word Elohim is used, it is plural. Hence, in verse 26, we read the following. God said, let us. So this is not in reference to angels or any other being, because in context, the figure that is at work in chapter 1 is God. Everything else that comes forth and is mentioned is the creation. But when it comes time for the aspect of creating man, this is not speaking in reference to animals. It's not speaking in reference to angels or unfallen worlds. God is saying, let us, meaning that there is a plurality in God. There's a plurality in the Godhead itself. Hence it says, God said, let us make man in our image, plurality again, after our likeness. So as we read this, this is powerful because we're coming to the realization that God, in the very auspices, or let me say it this way, in the very foundation of the Godhead, there's more than one individual that is there. And so this is key because in the context of Scripture, we see that the Bible already reveals the Spirit. The Bible does speak of the Father, and many understand clearly that the Father is represented. But the major thing that must also be remembered is that God the Father, while he is seen as creator in Scripture, there is an instrumentality through which he created the entire world and mankind as well. and that is mentioned. So we are looking at Genesis chapter 1, the story of the creation. We're looking at specifically verse 26, the story of the creation of man. And so as we look at this now, we're going to look at this story of creation as it is depicted now through the Apostle Paul. And so for this, we're going to go in our Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start from verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Some of us know these texts very well, but we're going over it for the sake of now seeing that while the Father is creator, he himself did not create all things, but he is creator indirect, not creator direct, meaning that he created through another instrumentality. And who is that instrumentality? It says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Speaking of the Son, it says, in whom, meaning in the Son, we have redemption through his blood. Now we know we're talking about Christ, right? So we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Continuing to speak about Christ, it says, who is the image of God, the image of the invisible God. Some translations put it as the original language puts it, meaning that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That's why he could say to Philip, in the book of John, have you been so long with me, Philip, and you say, show us the Father? And then he says, if you have seen me, the visible representation of God, you have seen the Father. That is the invisible one. So Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And that word itself, firstborn, it's powerful. This is why we have to look at the whole passage. Because as you look at the context, what comes next, you realize firstborn does not mean that he was literally created. Firstborn actually means the agency, the one who is the beginner. Hence the word firstborn. So it means rather than the one who is created, the first one who is created, he is the beginner of the creation. That's what the word firstborn literally means. Hence it says right after, how do we know this? It says what? For by him were all things created. That is by Christ. That's how we know what the word firstborn in verse 15 means. Paul says he's the firstborn. How could you say this, Paul? Because by him all things were created. That's how we know firstborn does not mean, oh, he was the first created being, but rather he is the beginner of all created beings. He is the one who began the entire creation process. Of how many things? It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, speaking of Christ, and for him. And he, Christ, is before all things. And by him, all things are held together. All things consist. And this same Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. That is, and that's another way that we know that firstborn does not mean the first one or the first created being. Why? Because was Christ the firstborn from among the dead? Was he the first one to ever rise from the dead? No, friends. But what it is saying is that all resurrections, everyone that has ever resurrected from the dead, they, whether Old or New Testament, the only way that they could rise or have assurance of resurrection from the dead is because Christ rose from the dead. In other words, his death and resurrection is of another caliber. It's of such a caliber that because his death and resurrection happens, all other resurrections did, can, and will take place. That's how we know that firstborn doesn't mean
what many are saying now that it means. We have to be careful to read the text. And then it says, here's how we know we're not talking about the Father, but Christ, because it says in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, should all the fullness dwell. So friends, we're realizing that when it comes to creation, Christ is the direct agent of creation. In other words, yes, the Father is creator, but how did he create? Through the Son. That already tells us, friends, of the pre-existence of Christ, of the supremacy of Christ, that when it comes to Genesis chapter 1, that while the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were involved in the creation process, hence the statement, us, let us make man in our image, the direct agent of creation was Christ. The Father made the world through the Son. Hence we read in verse 16, for by Christ were all things created. Friends, and realize it says all things. That's not just on earth, because it says that are in heaven. That means all of the unfallen worlds, all of the angels were created by the Son. How do we know that unfallen worlds were created by the Son? It states in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. And it says here in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who had sundry times, and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By his Son. Whom, meaning by the Son, he hath appointed, it says whom the Father has appointed heir over all things. So the Son, through whom the Father speaks in these last days, has been appointed heir of all things. By whom, check this out, by whom he made the world. Do you see it? The Father made the worlds through the Son. Friends, this is so vital. Therefore, if the Father made all things by the Son, as we just read in Colossians chapter 1, that means that if the Father made all things by the Son then had to exist before all things, because all things were made by Christ. Hence, we see in the scriptures the pre-existence of Christ. The incarnation was not the beginning of the Son of God, friends. When Christ became human, that's just what it was. He was becoming man. He can only become man if he existed before that situation, right? And we're seeing in scripture here, that is the case. Christ condescended from his pre-existent state as God. Because you remember, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us. So Christ created, the very one who created all things, the very one who created man, at some point, as time went on, became man. How? By condescending in order to do that impossible work, in order to do that work that is beyond human imagination. But friends, we are seeing here that the Bible is revealing to us that Jesus indeed is not just pre-existent. Before he became human, he was existing. And not only did he just exist, but he existed before all things, hence all things were created by him. But it's not just that. The Bible also tells us in the book of Isaiah, it makes it plain. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Speaking of Christ, the messianic prophecy says, the prophecy concerning the Messiah says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, what is the name of that son? What is the name? What are the titles that the Messiah will bear? And he can only bear them if he is actually that thing, right? It says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That means the awful one, the one who, when you look at him and you begin to observe him, it fills you with wonder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. And here it is, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So what we're seeing here, and that word Everlasting Father is deep in itself. That phrase, I should say, is deep in itself, but that's another study. But we're seeing here, according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6, that Christ is what? The Mighty God, Prince. And that's why it's not just that he's the Mighty God, but friends, in the very books of the New Testament, we come to the realization that Christ is the one who truly holds all power. Christ is the one who truly holds all power in his hands. And as a result of this, we come to the realization that Christ is not just the Mighty God, but friends, Christ is Almighty God. It is not just the Father who bears that name. It is the Son who also bears that name. How do I know this? If you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, we're going to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. All right? Revelation, chapter 19, and verse 11. It says in verse 11, and I saw heaven open. This is a depiction of the second coming. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Who is this? It says in verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Friend, that should take you back to John chapter 1. Not by coincidence, it's John writing this. The same John that wrote the Gospel of John and called Jesus the Word in John chapter 1 is the same John writing Revelation 19 and uses the phrase concerning this rider on the white horse, calling this rider the Word of God. We know who we're talking about. But just in case, it continues by saying, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's the same language we read about Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. John, when he saw Christ, the glorified Christ, he saw a sword coming out of his mouth. And that's how we know that when it says in Revelation chapter 1, when it depicts the glorified Christ, we are speaking about symbolic language. There are many groups that read Revelation chapter 1 today. And as they read Revelation chapter 1, they are seeing Christ with feet burnished like brass. And they don't realize, they take all the language in Revelation chapter 1 depicting the glorified Christ, and they're seeing it's literal. Hence, you have many people, such as the Hebrew Israelites today, that are saying Revelation chapter 1, rather than realizing its symbolism, they're saying this is how Jesus literally looks. His skin is amber, which means, you know what that means, right? They tell you. But they don't realize that, friends, if the burnished feet upon Christ is literal, then, friends, the sword coming out of his mouth is also literal, which is mentioned in the same Revelation 1. That's where we start running into problems, because Jesus does not walk around with a sword coming out of his mouth. That's how we know that it's symbolic language. The glorified depiction of Christ in Revelation chapter 1 is John literally sees Jesus, but he's seeing him enraptured in light. And what he sees, he explains, he tries to depict with words. He's groping for words. He's grasping. He's trying to grab hold of different words. But only human language is what he finds to explain a divine revelation. That's why we can't take the depiction is literal. Christ is appearing before John, But this depiction that he's seeing has symbolic meaning. Else, we should find Christ walking around with a sword in his mouth around heaven. But friends, I digress. Verse 15 says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it, what should Christ do? He should smite the nations. Now look at what it says about him. And he shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron, and he threadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. In other words, he is executing the wrath of all, as it says here, the wrath of Almighty God. Now, how can he execute that wrath of Almighty God unless he is Almighty God? Yes, he is doing this on behalf of his Father, but he can only do it on behalf of his Father because, friends, Christ possesses the same power. And in many cases in the book of Revelation, Christ possesses, and throughout the Bible, Christ possesses the same titles. Titles which he laid down at his incarnation, and the Father gave him back at his resurrection. Many people read, oh, the Father gave Christ that name. That you see, that therefore, that's why he has the name Jehovah, or that's why he has the name Almighty God. It's not because he's really that, but he was given that. No, friends. Christ possessed, as you look at the context of the entirety of Scripture, you realize that Christ possessed those terms before he condescended. But as we read in the book Desire of Ages, when Christ calmed the stormy sea, as the disciples along with him were sailing across it to the Gergesenes, to the land of the Gergesenes, where they met the demoniac, we are told in Desire of Ages that when Christ told the stormy sea, peace be still. Friends, it was not as Almighty God that he did it. It is not as Jehovah he did it. And then she says, he had laid that power down. He did it in full trust in his Father, as every human must trust in God. So therefore, when Christ in his pre-existence operated, he had all of the power of God, because he was Almighty God. But as he laid down that power to come to our world to save men and women, he laid it aside, depended on men and women as every man depended on God, as every man and woman must depend on God. And once he rose from the dead, all of those things were restored to him, along with a name that is above all other names, Jesus. For through that name, men are saved. For the name represents the character, right? And the character of Christ is perfect. Through that character, receiving that character, men and women are saved. So friends, God, when Christ rises from the dead, when he gives Christ that title of Jehovah and Almighty God, he's not giving it to him in saying, okay, I'm just giving you a title. No, friends. When God restores the terms to him, it is because Christ is really that thing. Christ was that thing. He laid it aside to come down to our world. But from the resurrection onward, he actually has it restored, not just given to him as a title. He bears these titles because he's really those things. All right? So we're seeing now, it's not just that the Father bears the term Alpha and Omega. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus also bears the term Alpha and Omega. It's not just that the Father bears the term he who was, is, and is to come. Christ also bears that term as well. If you read in Revelation 1, it is not just that the Father bears the name or the title Almighty God. Christ bears that title as well. And friends, Christ does not just bear it as one who is just given the title. No, Christ bears those terms because he actually was, is, and is to come, meaning that he has existed throughout eternity, just like his Father. And so friends, as we read this, as we read these things, it is crucial for us to realize, whoa, Christ existed before his incarnation. But it's not just that he existed before the incarnation. It is through him that all things were created. Hence, he had to exist before all things. But it's not just that he existed before all things. Friends, the only way that you can truly be God, in the sense of what the Bible lays out, is that you have to have no beginning. Hence, we read here in the book, this will be our last scripture before we go into the spirit of prophecy. This is stated in the book of Micah. Micah chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 2. Messianic prophecy, once again, a prophecy concerning the Messiah. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah." By the way, this is what the religious leaders looked at when Herod threatened them, as he found out from the wise men that the king of the Jews had already been born. Once he found this out from the wise men, he demanded that the religious leaders tell him where Christ was supposed to be born, that he could find out ultimately and ultimately execute the child, execute any threat to his throne. So how did he find out? The religious leaders went back, and they went to the prophecy of Micah. And what did they find in Micah 5:2? "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me," God said, "that is to be ruler," meaning he that is to be ruler in Israel. That's the Messiah, by the way. And speaking of the Messiah, it says of his beginnings, it says, "whose going forth have been from of old." But how old, God? "From everlasting." Meaning, friends, there was never a time that Jesus or the Messiah that would come, there was never a time when he was not. For everlasting means, from everlasting means you're going backward. To everlasting means you're going forward. So when, and hence it reiterates the point, from of old. But old, you could say old could mean probably 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years ago. But then God says, I don't want you to make a mistake here. When I say from of old, I don't mean just thousands of years or millions. I don't mean billions of years. From everlasting is what I mean. That means Christ has no beginning, friends. That means beyond what our human comprehension can fathom, Christ is as old as his Father. That's why we truly have to understand what the term Son of God means. It does not mean that Christ is a literal son. It's on a deeper level, friends, than many can really understand. Christ, though being the Son of God, is just as old, or though being the Son of God the Father, he is just as old. And many people, because they cannot wrap their minds around it, they try to deny it. They try to explain it away. And we were warned about this. Spirit of prophecy tells us there are places that we will not be able to pierce beyond. But because human beings are so curious, they try to go beyond that which has been revealed. But no, friends, it is clear. Christ is as old as his Father. And how old is the Father? Father never had any beginning. From everlasting, the Father has been. And can you imagine that? Truly, we cannot, friends. A being that has never had a beginning. But that's what Christ and the Father is. All right? It says here, now I'm going to read to you a few statements from the Spirit of Prophecy. It states here, in speaking of his pre-existence, Christ carries the mind back through dateless ages. In other words, you can't put an amount on it. You can't go back 6,000 years and says I found. You can't go back millions of years and say I found when he began to exist. No, friends, it is dateless, meaning everlasting. He assures us that there never time when he was not in close fellowship with the eternal God. He to whose voice the Jews were then listening had been with God. Listen to this. Had been with God as one brought up with him. Whoa. Now, who do you say that with? you usually, a child is never brought up with his parents. Do you see? Do you see why we have to be careful with how we understand the term Son of God? Because the Bible just said of Christ, Christ literally laid out his existence as one that grew up with God. Friends, that is mind-blowing. Meaning, and friends, when did God begin to exist? When did the Father begin to exist? There was never a time when he started existing. Therefore, it is the same for Christ. Here, Christ shows them. This is probably in reference to John chapter 10, verses 30 to 33, where Christ says, I and my Father are one. Here, Christ shows them, that is the Jews, that although they might reckon his life to be less than 50 years old, that is by human years, yet his divine life could not be reckoned by human computation. The existence of Christ before his incarnation, listen to this, is not measured by figures. Whoa. And then, just in case we try to say, well, maybe there's a way that there's a heavenly calculation that could show us when he began. The next statement follows by saying, from all eternity, Christ was united with the Father. Friends, there was never a time when he started to exist. It says, and when he took upon himself human nature, he was still one with God. When Christ, this is speaking now of his ascension, when Christ passed within the heavenly gates, he was enthroned amidst the adoration of angels. As soon as this ceremony was completed, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples in rich currents. And Christ was indeed glorified. Now, here's why I told us earlier that when we say God gave him certain titles, he always had these titles. The reason that God gave it to him was because he laid it aside when he became human to come and redeem us. But once he gets back to heaven now, what happens? It says, and Christ was indeed glorified, even with the glory which he had with the Father. From what time period? From all eternity. Friends, this is vital. This is what the Bible is revealing to us. That not only, contrary to popular beliefs that are rising even within Adventism today, contrary to those propositions, Christ is God. Christ, and we'll read it at another point, Christ is God in the highest sense, meaning just as much as the Father is God, Christ is God, not by heritage, not by inheritance, but friends, because he is that. There was never a time when he began to be. He has always existed, eternal in nature. Therefore, being on the same level in power as his Father. This is what begins to set the Seventh-day Adventist Church apart from many other denominations, because as we're going to see, as we continue studying, that Christ is actually not even dependent in his divine nature. I say that specifically. He's not even dependent on his Father for life. We're going to look at that as we continue our study. But I pray that these things made sense. The reason I want to touch on these things is because there is a movement, a wave sweeping throughout Adventism. Now, when it came to our pioneers, they didn't believe that Christ was truly eternal God, and to a degree, that is true. But we have to understand that the pioneers were fighting against Sabellianism, the idea that Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit are really three persons in one. That's different from three persons yet one. We'll see what I mean by that. The Godhead operates and is manifest in three persons, yet one. It's not one God being manifested in three different ways at different points in human history. No, friends. There are actually three distinct, separate persons. in the Godhead. The reason that they are one is because they are one in purpose. So united in all of their desires and purposes toward the universe and its operations that they are described as one. The Hebrew word is ehad, meaning one not in number, but one in unity. That's what the Bible means when it says the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's what the pioneers were fighting against. But to be honest, also some of the pioneers could not accept that Jesus Christ was truly God in the highest sense at first. That's why when Ellen White started writing some of the statements she wrote in the manuscripts, in the testimonies, and in the Desired Ages, many of our pioneers were shocked. Men like Uriah Smith and others were shocked to realize, whoa, that deity of Christ is way higher than we actually ever thought. As we continue studying, you'll see those things, friends. But stay tuned and let's pray. Father, bless us. Give us wisdom and understanding. And help us to accept these things, Lord. I know that there are many in our church today, despite the clarity of the spirit of prophecy, will not accept these things. But Lord, yet we have been given them. We have been given the clear light as to Christ and the greatness of his divinity. Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Brother Akeem, this was beautiful message. I tell you, Brother Akeem, may I read that just right quick, brothers and sisters? Is it John, what? Give it to me, where the Father, and he said, I and the Father and the Holy Spirit,
one?
They are one. Yes.
That's yes, that's John chapter 10, verse 30.
Okay. I want to read that to my brothers and sisters. John chapter 10, verse. John chapter 10?
Yes, John 10. And if you want, for context, you can read 30 to 33.
John chapter 10 or 30?
Yeah, John 10.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for. Nope. John chapter 10, 30 and 33. I and my Father are one. No, they bear record. That's the one I want to read. Yeah, but I'm going to read this one. Yeah, he said he bear record.
Okay, let me see if I can find that one.
We bear record. It's in my other Bible. I got it highlighted. I don't know. Where is it? Bear record.
Okay, that's 1 John 5, I think, verse 7.
First John. I thought that was in just John. Okay, let me go there right quick. First John 5.
Verse 7.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Okay, let's read it. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these agree in one. And Brother Akeem, when you read this, I've always knew. I remember I was living in Lafayette, Louisiana. This is another city from where I am now. And I had some Jehovah's Witness come to me in my Dillard's. I was working in Dillard's. And they wanted to teach me the word. And I showed them in the word of God that this scripture. And I told them, I say, when they say they bear one, meaning that they are three persons, but one, but they one in purpose. And I and when you read this, I say, praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you why I said that. Now, God said, if Jesus said, when you look at the things in the earth, what he have done, he said, they are of me. They, you know, the things of me. Now, God said that when you get a husband or when you get a wife, he said, those two must become one. But yet, Brother Ray is a single person. And Sister Leola is a single person, but we got to come together as one. When you are married, you are one now. And and one in everything you all do, you're supposed to have no, you're supposed to be just like the Father and the Son. He said that represent, he said, whatever you do, you represent me if you behave as Christ has said to behave. So we are as one when we become married. That's why Christ said he married to the church. It's all come together. It is perfect fitting how Christ and the Father are one and the Holy Spirit. They are three persons, but they're one purpose. And the purpose is to save, for salvation. Oh, praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Akeem. I hope everybody understand that, because that Trinity thing, explain that Trinity so everybody would understand what you're saying about that Trinity. Again, explain that again, please.
Yes, yes. And I love the way, I love what you said, Sister Leola, in the sense that this is a biblical understanding of the Trinity, because I know that many can get they can get hung up on that word, but it depends on if you're seeing it from a biblical standpoint or from the standpoint of the other Protestant churches, or even from the perspective of the Catholic Church. This is why I said Seventh-day Adventism is so different, because in the other churches, and even to an extent in Catholicism, there is a belief that the Holy Spirit precedes or comes out of the union of the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. But in Adventism, our view is very distinct in that we believe that the Holy Spirit, while he glorifies the Son and the Father, he is distinct in nature.
That's
so
right.
That's why Inspiration calls them the heavenly trio, or the three divine dignitaries, because they are distinct beings, but they are united in purpose. So we don't believe that the Holy Spirit, for example, one is a force, or like some say, Christ came forth at some time far back beyond when we can calculate. No, friends. We actually believe that all three, and if you want to put the term Godhead or Trinity on there, that they existed as three distinct beings. Does that address what you were saying, Sister Leola?
Three persons. Yeah. God, the Father, the person, the Son, the person, and the Holy Spirit, the person. He say because he's they said that the Bible says that you can offend him or something like that. You can offend the Holy Spirit.
So it
is powerful.
Yes, yes.
It is powerful. And Brother Akeem, this is what, you see, I bought this little book that says, and I've been helping my sisters and brothers on the prayer line, Catechism, Converted Catechism. And it teaches, and that's exactly what the Catholic Church teaches, that the Holy Spirit comes from Christ or from the Father, whoever they want to say it come from. It comes from them, but he's not a distinct, separate person. No, the Bible says he. That's why it says there's three that agree in one. That's like, okay, that's like we have two, a husband and a wife, and then we have God's spirit. The third person, God's spirit is the third person that guard our life.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's
yes,
three
yes.
that operate.
Yes.
So, and that goes to show you God's word is powerful. So we thank you tonight. Sad to say, many others should have heard this message, because this message is very powerful, because a lot of people don't understand that. And I believe you need to bring that again, because we don't have enough on the prayer line that really got this, everybody. And it could afford to be taught again. So we thank you tonight for bringing this much clearer by God's grace. And it sure has been a blessing to us tonight. And as we are continuing to learn, and you know what else I wanted to share, and I'm going to let you go, Brother Akeem, we're going to close out. I think that my brothers and sisters, because there's so many people don't understand what it means to, the Catholic has so many words talking about, I was looking at it today, solemnity, they call it dip. They use this. I had one word that I wanted to say. They don't understand. I know they understand. I mean, some may understand purgatory, but they may not understand what all it means. And there was another word, Brother Akeem. Let me see. I got my book turned to it. These things that we understand as a okay, my book. Hold on, let me see if this is the book. I had a word that I wanted to share. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I got it. That I wanted to share with them that you can, hold on, let me get this word. Okay, one is indulgency. We need to understand these terms, because, you know, they are saying, what is indulgency? And they say indulgency is the remission of temporary punishment due to sin. So you see, these little things here kind of confuse people, because they used to confuse me. I didn't understand what this stuff saying. But the Bible says that sin is the transgression of is the transgression of the law. But they have indulgences here, is the remission of temporary punishment. So they want to place these words different and confuse people. And if we don't know what these words mean, if we don't understand this, but I know so many of us don't want to read books like this to learn what these words mean, and it's going to hurt us.
Yeah.
I was saying that knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
Yeah. That's right, for
okay.
sure. For
so
sure.
If someone going to come tell me the indulgence is the remission, if I have indulged in something, a little something that they're going to say it's a remission of a temporary. How you going to tell me it's a remission of a temporary? Either the Bible, so I can tell them, no, the Bible says the sin is the transgression of the law. You can't tell me this foolishness here. No.
Yeah.
That's what it's sin. So, yeah, these little things. So what you were teaching us tonight, it goes to say that this Trinity that the Catholic bleed and some of and most of your Baptist church, they believe that stuff. I'm talking about all Sunday-keeping churches.
So we got to
understand the Word of God, because God said He's given us time for to search these scriptures and to know what is right and what is wrong. And I thank God that we have some on this prayer line want us to know and they teach. So thank you again, Brother Akeem. I'm gonna we're gonna close out. We just want to thank you for bringing us a message tonight. We thank you for explaining. My husband was saying, now, Brother Akeem, teach. So he likes, he said he teach. But sometime when you got people preaching and he said it sound like they fussing. He can't deal with that. I'm serious. That's the way he thinks. He can't deal with people want preaching and fussing like they fussing.
Yes.
But he understand what you were teaching. And he said, you see what he's teaching? He said that that when you use Elohim, it is plural. And he got it.
Yes.
So I just say praise God. Oh. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to let you go. May God bless you and bless your family as you continue to bring God's word forward for us. I would say for us beginners, or, you know, we don't have all that knowledge, so we need the little step, baby steps. Amen. So thank you once again, Brother Akeem, for the word of God. And we ask that the Lord keep you and bless you and your family. Amen. So we're going to begin to close. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight for your blessing, for your word tonight. Bless your servant, Brother Akeem, in his ministry. Father, bless him with financial blessing. Bless him, Father, in everything that he needs for his minister work, Father. We thank you, and we thank you for him. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, once again. God bless.
Blessings. Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed.